The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is the chapter that's often called the God's Faith Hall of Fame. And it lists many people of faith. We've looked at some of those already in our study. And this morning we come to Abraham. And we want to speak to you about the faith of Abraham as we see it beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. So follow in your Bibles as we read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Let's lift the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word, the assembly of your people, and the promise that you've given us in the scripture that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst of them. So we thank you for your presence, and we ask that you would give enablement to bring the message today, Lord, so that it would be clear and that people could understand and that you would apply it to their hearts. If there be someone here today, Lord, who has not come to personal faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that that would be true of them today, that they would be able to believe on him who died for them. Lord, we just ask that you might accomplish your will in each of our hearts. We know that we all have various needs. Some people have come today discouraged. I pray you'd encourage them. Some maybe are defeated. I pray that you'd get them on the victory side today as they believe you. And some maybe, Lord, just have questions about how to handle problems. I pray that you'd help them today. Whatever the need might be, we ask that you'd meet it in accordance to your will. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, as we've looked at before, verse 6 tells us that faith is so very important. Last week we saw about the importance of faith. But again it says in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Pleasing God is far more important than pleasing yourself or others. And how we need people of faith today. Faith is so important that faith, the Bible says that faith is the way to salvation. Faith is the way to justification. Faith is the way to eternal life. Faith is the way to a successful life as you live it on this earth. And then faith is the way to heaven. Abraham was a man of faith. He's the only man in the Bible that's called the friend of God. Now, we are told that we can be friends of God, but Abraham himself was named, and he was called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7 says, Abraham, thy friend. Isaiah 41, verse 8, Abraham, my friend. And James chapter 2, verse 23, Abraham believed God, and he was called the friend of God. God has very much to say about Abraham in the Bible. He's probably one of the most important people that ever lived. In fact, we find him listed or mentioned in many books of the Bible. I want to go down through the list of books where you find the name Abraham mentioned. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Nehemiah, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Hebrews, James, and 1 Peter. 27 books of the 66 books of the Bible mention Abraham. Sounds like he's an important man. But what was it that made Abraham so important? There's one word that can describe it, and that is faith. Faith made him an important man. And so we can learn much about faith as we look at Abraham. Now, to help you this morning, I've inserted in your bulletins, or someone has inserted in your bulletins for me, the outline of the message this morning, and I hope it'll help you as we go through this discussion of faith. The faith of Abraham. As we look at Abraham's faith, we first of all want to notice the prerequisite for faith. The prerequisite of faith. We find it, I believe, hidden in verse 8. And let me read it to you. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance. By faith Abraham, when he was called. Now, to understand that, we need to understand what Abraham was when he was called. You go back into the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and if you'll go back there with me quickly. Genesis chapter 12, we find the introduction of Abraham. Well, you actually find him in chapter 11. He was the son of Terah. Chapter 11, verse 27 says, Terah begat Abraham and Nahor and Haran. And so he had those three sons. Haran died, left Abraham and Nahor. And Abraham had said of Abraham in chapter 12, verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Now we find also from a study of the Scripture that God told Abraham that even earlier than that. He actually told him to get out when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And so Abraham was told by God to leave his country. But to understand the significance of that, we need to understand what Abraham and his family were. And the Bible tells in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, that they served other gods. Abraham's dad and Abraham and his brother served other gods. Now that's significant. And that tells me what the prerequisite of faith is. And that is, it's grace. It's grace. You see, Abraham didn't deserve even the opportunity to believe God. Abraham didn't deserve to end up being the great man that he was. He was a man of faith, but what was the prerequisite for faith? And that is, it was grace. And if you today sit there as a person of faith and you believe God, I'll guarantee you it's the grace of God that you do that. You can't say, well, I'm proud because I'm a person of faith. You should be more of a person of faith like I am. Then you don't understand. Because the Bible says you're a sinner. And what you deserve is death and separation from God. And the prerequisite for you to ever have faith is the very grace of God. And that's proven in the life of Abraham because the Bible says he was a worshiper of other gods before God spoke to his heart and called him out. So the prerequisite of faith is grace. The performance of faith. Now this is always true of faith. There might be some here today who say, well, I'm a person of faith. I believe God. Well, let's see if you are. The Bible says of faith, of Abraham, it says in verse 8, he obeyed God and he went out not knowing where he went. He obeyed God. What's the performance of faith? The performance of faith is always this, obedience. The children singing in a song that goes like this, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it faithfully. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. And you know how the song goes. That's a scriptural song. Obedience is shown, obedience is the way that you show faith. So what's the performance of faith? It's always obedience. It's not religion. You don't show your faith, perform your faith by being religious. You don't perform your faith by going into an elaborate church building and going through some set ritual that they've laid out for you, and you've got to do this at this time and this at that time and make sure you do all these things. If you've done these religious things, then you're a person of faith. Well, there's a good Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Well, maybe that's not Greek, but it's appropriate. That's not faith, friend. Faith is believe in God, and then you show that through obedience. Someone has rightfully said, I don't care how high you jump in church service, and you get all excited and shout and how high you jump. What matters is how straight you walk when you hit the ground. Obedience. Abraham believed God, and he obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. It's always been that way. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where God was going to send him. But he did what God told him to, and that is he got out of his country. You can imagine, here Abraham's walking along, and he's got his people with him, and you know he's got some flocks, and he's got some herds, and he's walking through this arid place, and somebody stops and says, hey, fella, where are you going? He said, I'm not sure. He said, what's your name? He says, Abraham. And you don't know where you're going. No, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to follow the Lord. God told me to go, and I'm going. Well, do you know where you're going? He says, no, I don't really know where I'm going. And so he goes on his way, and this fellow scratches his head and says, hey, that guy's been in the sun too long. He's going, but he doesn't know where he's going. Why did he do that? He didn't have the answers. He just knew God said go, and so he went. Not knowing where he was going. That's the performance of faith. It's obedience. You see, the Bible says it's that way for you too. James chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and hath not works, can faith save him? I mean, the type of faith that has no works with it, does that save people? No, the answer is no. Now, is James teaching, by the way, Martin Luther of the Reformation said of the book of James it was a right strawy epistle. In other words, he didn't like the book of James. He was strong on justification by faith, and he saw the book of James, he read it, and he said that must not be a canonical book, that must not be approved of God because it's teaching salvation by works. No, it's not. James is saying this, you want to prove your faith to me? I mean, God knows, but you want to prove it to me? Then you prove it by works. Because a faith that has no works is dead. That's why I think it's futile for somebody to say, oh, I'm a person of faith, and I know I'm going to heaven. I put my faith in Jesus. But you look at their life, and there's absolutely no evidence. There's never been any evidence. There's no change in their life. They live just like everybody else. Look, if I was that way, I'd be afraid to say I'm going to heaven. Because faith produces works. It just does. If a brother, and he illustrates it, he says, well, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? I mean, you see a person, and he doesn't have any clothes on, and just very little, you know, it's winter time, and he's a freezing, and he doesn't have any food to eat, and you say, bless you, brother. Now, the question is, what good did that do him? It did him no good, because he needed clothes, and he needed food. The Lord says also, it does no good for you to say you have faith, and then you have nothing to back it up with. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. show me thy faith without thy works, he says, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Look at verse 26. We don't have to read it all, but look at verse 26. He says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, you know, you go to the funeral, you know that's true. The body's laying there, but you could stick a hat pin in that body and it's not going to move. Why? Because the person's not there. The spirit, the soul and spirit left. So the body without the spirit's dead. So the Lord says also, faith without works is dead. Being alone, it's dead. So your faith, if you have no works to back it up, to prove that there really is a change and there really is a relationship with God, God would say, then you're really trusting the wrong thing and you really don't have faith. And so the performance of faith is obedience. Now let's look at the next thing, perseverance of faith. You have faith, you say you have faith, well let's notice what it says in verse 9. By faith he sojourned. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You see, Abraham left a life of ease and stability in Ur of the Chaldeans to go to a land of promise, but he never really was able to conquer that land. In fact, it's true of Abraham that he never found a place to call his own. God didn't allow him to. He traveled for all those years and never had anything he could call his own except one thing, and that was a burial place for Sarah. And he bought that burial place for her. And the Bible says in verse 9, by faith he sojourned, dwelling in tabernacles. Those two terms together are significant. The word dwelling is the word that means settle down to dwell permanently. But the word tabernacle means a tent. So what it's saying is he dwelled permanently in temporary housing. Permanently, through all of his life, he lived in temporary housing. He lived in tents, and he went from place to place. Now, Abraham turned out to be a rich man. Yes, he had a lot of possessions, but he had nothing, no land that he could call his own where he could dwell and say, this is my place, this is my house. And so, he was persistent in his faith. He persevered in his faith. Even though he had nothing of his own, he kept on going, and he believed God. God says, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you people. I'm going to give you so many people in your family. It's going to be as the stars of the sky for multitude, as the sand on the seashore for multitude. I'm going to give you all that. I'm going to give you land. And yet he had never had any land. And until he's 100 years old, never had any children, except one by a wife that wasn't supposed to be his wife. So Abraham went all that time, but he still believed God. What's that tell us? Well, true faith perseveres. The perseverance of faith. We go on and we believe God. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we go on and we're living for the Lord and things just aren't going right. Seems like everything goes wrong. And we're tempted just to give it up and say, well, what's the use? But true faith says, I don't care what the circumstances say, I still believe God. I can think in my ministry of people who've been strong people of faith, and sometimes I've seen them go through all kinds of trials. Some of the sweetest people I've ever met or talked to have been people of faith in the hospital. Flat of their back, their health's all gone. They really don't have much of this earth's goods, but they have a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, and they're not going to turn back. They're going to keep trusting the Lord regardless what happens, and that's the kind of faith Abraham had. No place to call his own. Acts chapter 7 verse 5 says, none inheritance in it, no, not so much as a place to set his feet on. He had none inheritance in the land that God had given him. He wasn't able himself to actually possess it, but he still believed God. Now, in that faith that Abraham had, did he ever waver? You say, he must have been a supernatural guy. I mean, I have faith, but there have been times in my life when I've wavered. Did Abraham ever waver? Yeah, he did. There's one time there was a famine in the land. He went down to Egypt. Probably shouldn't have done that. There was another time he was afraid because he looked at his wife, and she was probably 65 years old at that time, and boy, she was beautiful. You say, 65 years old? Oh, yeah. You see, she lived to be over 120, so it was about half of her life, and so she was still in the prime at 65, and he knew she was beautiful. And he said, you know, I go into this land, and these people see my wife, and they're going to think she's so pretty, and here I'm her husband. They'll kill me so they can have her. So he told Sarah, he said, you tell the story, and you tell them you're my sister. Not my wife, but my sister. Did he ever vacillate in his faith? Oh, yes. He believed God? Yes, he did, but he got afraid. And so he had some trouble there. And you remember what happened was that the king found out and very disturbed with Abraham. And God worked it all out for him, but he had times when he drifted away. But then he went back to Bethel after that, the place he had met the Lord and built the altar. He went back to Bethel. But his faith continued. It continued. God wants us to have that kind of faith. Faith that perseveres. But then I see the promise of faith. Look at verse 10. The promise of faith. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, there's a contrast there. Abraham dwelt in tents. Tents don't have foundations. But he said, I might not have a house with a foundation down here, but I know someday I'm going to a place, a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, the book of Genesis doesn't tell us about that. But evidently, God told Abraham about it. And God must have told Abraham, Abraham, I know that it looks discouraging down here, and you're just still living in tents, going from place to place. But I guarantee you it's going to be worth it someday. You just keep believing my promise. You keep trusting me because I guarantee you there's a city coming. And you're going to be a part of that city. And Abraham kept that in his mind. And when the times got rough, he started thinking about that city. And he kept on because he had that in mind. That was the promise of God. The promise of faith was there's a better place coming. And everybody here knows Jesus as their Savior needs to remember that. There's a better place coming. And when you go through the rough times, you go through the heartache and the sorrow, remember, there's a better place, there's a better time. And the place is called heaven. Oh yes, the Bible mentions that even in the book of Hebrews. It says, verse 16, prepared for them a city. Chapter 12, verse 22, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Chapter 13, verse 14, talks about the one that is to come, that city. Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, says Jerusalem, which is above. All those references are talking about that city that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 21. Turn with me in your Bibles and we'll look at that description again in Revelation chapter 21. This is the city that he looked for. And by the way, it's the same city that we're looking for. We talk about those streets of gold and those gates of pearl and walls of jasper and all of that. And those 12 foundation stones of various kinds of various colors, various kinds of stone. What is that city that we're talking about? Same one Abraham looked for. And it says in Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. You see, Abraham was looking forward to what we're looking forward to, and that is, there's coming a city. And God says that city is going to be revealed to us when He destroys this earth. And by the way, this earth is going to be destroyed. And then He's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, and He's going to bring down out of heaven that city that He's been preparing, and He's going to bring it down and set it, I believe, on that brand new earth. And then it gives the description of that city. Look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God from heaven, having the glory of God. Her light was the light of the was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Abraham looked for a city that had foundations. Had 12 foundations. Then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. That's roughly 1,500 miles. The length and the breadth of the and the height of it are equal. So it's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. It's a cube. And that's a big city. Now let's notice the description of that city. And he measured the wall thereof, verse 17, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto the clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And it goes on and mentions those 12 different kinds of stones, verses 19 through 21. And then verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Look at verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations thereinto it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. He looked for a city. I look for that city. Are you going to be in that city? The Lord says, you will if your name is in the Lamb's book of life. You see, faith has a promise. And the promise of faith is there's a city that God has prepared. And we're looking for that city. But then there's the pillow of faith. Turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at this, what I'm calling the pillow of faith. You say, well, how can I know that's true? How can I know that that city is really true? How can I know that what I'm believing, my faith is in, how can I know it's really true? I mean, is it just a shot in the dark? You know, I hope it is. Or is it really true? How can I know? How can I rest myself on that? What's the pillow of faith? Look at verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. There's the pillow of faith. She judged him faithful who had promised. You see, the fact that God himself promised it, that's what you can rest on. Not because the preacher told you about it, but because God told you about it. Because God promises it to all those who believe. And what we rest on, what we lay our head on, our pillow of faith, is the very fact that God promised it. And He can't lie. Now, He mentioned Sarah. And, of course, Sarah is all tied up with Abraham. But notice it says, through faith also Sarah received strength and conceived. Sarah had faith. You know, we read in the Bible when Sarah heard about her having a child, she laughed. Oh, don't be too hard on Sarah. You would too, lady. Anybody here 90 years old this morning? Don't raise your hand if you are, but if you are 90 years old, if God told you you were going to have a child, would you laugh? Sure you would. But we sometimes forget, before Sarah laughed, Abraham laughed. Genesis 17, Abraham laughed. Genesis 18, Sarah laughed. Both of them laughed. What happened? I mean, if they both laugh, what happened so that now they're called, that it says that by faith Sarah conceived? Well, I believe Sarah laughed initially, but then I believe later Sarah believed God. And she trusted the Lord. And you know, I believe that there's even evidence in the Scripture that God must have rejuvenated Sarah's body. I mean, she said, how can I, you know, I can't have a child. And Abraham thought, I can't have a child. I mean, the Bible says even here in Hebrews that she was past age, and Abraham, I mean, how would you like this to be said of you, men? He was as good as dead. That's what it says. He was as good as dead, and she was past age. So there's no chance. I mean, there's no hope of them having a child. But they did. And you know, I believe there's evidence in the text that God must have done something to Sarah's body to make her younger so she could do that. Why? Because at 90 years old, guess what happened? A king saw her, and she was so beautiful, he wanted her in his harem. 90 years old? I think God must have done some work there, don't you? By faith, she conceived. I believe that she was able to do that. She was able to have faith because after all the things that would say no, she realized, well, wait a minute. I'm going to look past the circumstances and I'm going to look to the one who promised it. And that's God. And nothing's too hard for him. If God wants to make me have a child at 9 years old, I guess God can do that. And she rested her head on the promise of God. And that's the pillow of faith. You might be going through circumstances today that shout impossible. You might be going through things that say, God doesn't love you. Why would God allow this to happen? The pillow of faith when you say, look, I know I don't understand it, but I believe God. And God's bigger than I am, and He understands a lot more than I do. He's more powerful than I am. And God can take something bad and work it together for good. I'm just going to leave it in His lap, and I'm going to say, God, even though I don't understand, You said You would work it together for good. You say You love me. You say You'll never do anything against me. And Lord, I just trust You. And we rest our head on the pillow of faith, and that's the promise of God. And then we see the last thing, and that's the product of faith. It's really the best part of the message, I believe. But let's look at the product of faith. There's four things that I see as the product of faith. The first one is stability in the midst of disappointment. Stability in the midst of disappointment. We see it, first of all, in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What's the product of faith? The product of faith is that when you truly believe the Lord, it'll give you stability. Stability in the midst of troubles. Stability in the midst of uncomfortable circumstances. And those uncomfortable circumstances for him was that he traveled all these years and still he was just a sojourner and a pilgrim. And he had to express that. He said, I'm just a sojourner and a pilgrim in this land. I still don't feel at home here, but I still believe God. And faith will give you stability in the midst of disappointments because you'll go through times when you're uncomfortable too. But faith will give you stability. But it'll also give you stability in unexplainable circumstances. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, he accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham was faced with something that was just unexplainable. I mean, God, you say you're going to bless me, and you've waited till I was 100 years old to give me a child, and you say, this is the child of blessing? And now this child is growing up and you tell me to take him up on that mountain and kill him? I mean, Lord, if I'm going to have children like the stars for multitude and the sand on the seashore for multitude, if that's going to be true of me and it's all going to come through Isaac, I mean, how in the world could that be possible, Lord, if you want me to kill him? God says, you just do what I tell you. Do what I tell you. And guess what faith did for Abraham? It gave him stability in the midst of unexplainable circumstances. Are you going through something like that? Probably not that drastic. But are you going through things that you don't understand? How are you going to get through that? You're going to have to believe God, friend. You're going to have to believe God. So Abraham did. He believed God. And God tells us something we don't know otherwise. He tells us how Abraham was able to do that. You see, God knows that we're people with minds and we think. And you know, you can believe God and you probably say, well, I know God's going to work it out, but let me see here's the way He might do it. Have you ever done that? I'm sure you have. Abraham did that. He said, now look, God said it's all going to come through Isaac. And then God tells me to kill Isaac. And yet I know God can't lie. And what God said is going to come about will come about. How in the world is He going to do this? And Abraham said in his mind, the only way I can figure it out is God's going to have me kill him, then He's going to raise him up from the dead. And you know, that's really seen in the text back in Genesis, because Abraham told his servant, he said, now, you stay here. I and the lad, we're going to go up there and we're going to worship God. That's interesting. You know, the way you worship God is to obey God. We're going to worship God, and then we will return. Now, he knew he was going to go up on that mountain and kill his son. He didn't know anything about the ram caught in the thicket. He didn't know that God was going to stop his hand. He just knew that he was going to do what God told him to do. But he said, look, I know I can trust God, and if he's going to let me kill him, he has to raise him up, because everything's wrapped up in him. And so he tells his servants, we're both going to go up and we're both going to come back. God said the reason he said that was because he knew that if necessary, God could raise him from the dead. Well, God saw his faith and stopped his hand. He didn't kill his son. God provided a substitute instead, the ram caught in the thicket. But it shows that faith will get you through tough times, friend, and to give you the stability that you need. And then faith will also, another product of faith is seeking things above. Verse 13, the last part of the verse, he says, we're strangers and pilgrims, I'm stranger and pilgrim on the earth. It says in verse 8-14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. That they seek a country. The word country is the Greek word patris. I'm not sure, I can't remember how you pronounce it, but it's the word that fatherland. It's the fatherland. And he says, they that say such things like Abraham said, they're just pilgrims and sojourners in this earth. It's because they're seeking things above, and they seek a country, a fatherland. They're saying, this is not my fatherland. It's the word that we get our word patriotic from. And he's saying that we seek a fatherland, a country that's not this country. There's another country. And faith will help you do that. Faith will help you, as the New Testament says, to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And faith will help you seek things that are above. And that's what it did for Abraham. And then there's another thing, another product of faith, and that is it'll help you to sense proper values. Look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I mean, they could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldeans where they had it nice. That's what he's saying. And if they had wanted to, that could have happened. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. You see, God will help you to set proper values. and to give you a sense of proper values. And that is, look, here's Ur of the Chaldees. We could go back there. But we're not going to, because there's somewhere a lot better than that. Sometimes as you walk the Christian life, you're tempted to go back. You're tempted to forsake your walk. You're tempted to maybe go back into the world. But the Lord, through faith, reminds us, no, there's something much better. And the Lord says, set your affection on things above. The Lord says, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8. And so there are better things coming. But faith helps you see that. Faith helps you to sort through all of that. And Abraham had added determination, I'm not going back to that land. We see that when he sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac. You remember the servant said, what if she won't come? I mean, and he's seemingly he's saying, you know, if she won't come to us, maybe I should take Isaac down to her. And Abraham said emphatically, you don't take Isaac back to that land. We're not going back. We're not going back. He had opportunity to go back, but he wouldn't go back. He said, no, we're looking for another country, something far better. We're going to trust the Lord and we're going to serve Him. And the product of faith is a sense of proper values so that you make that determination. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to go back to the world. I'm going to live for Jesus. And then finally, another product of faith is satisfaction. I see this in two ways in our text. Verse 16, satisfaction of having a relationship with God. It says, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. I ask you a question. Is God ashamed to call you to say that He is your God? I mean, how do you live? Do you live a life of faith so that God says, that's mine. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. The Lord says, Abraham lived such a way that God was not ashamed to say, I'm His God. I'm His God. And so that's satisfaction to give you a relationship with God. And he was called the friend of God. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, we also can be friends of God if we trust Him. John 15:13-15. But then there's one final thing, and that's an influence with his family. Look at verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Now, to me, that's satisfaction. Faith gives me satisfaction. Satisfaction by having a relationship with God and satisfaction by having influence on my family. Abraham's faith influenced his child, influenced his grandchildren, and influenced his great-grandchildren. And if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll do the same. If you stay true to the Lord and set your affection on things above and you keep that promise of faith in mind that there's a better city, a better land, and I'm going to heaven someday and I'm going to live like somebody that's going to heaven, the Lord says you're going to affect people. You'll affect your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Well, that's satisfaction to me. I don't want any time to ever live my life and do something in my life so that my children say, Dad, I'm ashamed of you. Well, I'd hate for them to say that. I'd hate for my grandson to get up on my knee and say, Papa, why'd you do that? Well, I'd hate for that to happen. I'd hate for my grandchildren to have to say something like that. You know, your children pick out your inconsistencies and they pick out the problems you have. Even your grandchildren can see things. The other day, one of my grandchildren got up on my knee and they said, I think it was one of Kitcher's little girls, and they said, Papa, you got white stuff in your ear. And I guess it was wax. You know, as you get older, you all know that. You have a little problem with that. Said, you got white stuff in your ear. But you know, our kids can also look at us and say, "Papa, that wasn't right." I don't want my kids to say that. I want to have the satisfaction of knowing they can follow me. Faith, friend, it's so very important. The story is told of Albert Einstein. He was traveling to New York City, and the conductor on the train was collecting the tickets. And Mr. Einstein couldn't find his ticket. And he was very upset about it because he looked everywhere and he couldn't find his ticket. The conductor said this, "That's all right, Mr. Einstein, I know who you are. You don't need to keep looking." But then Mr. Einstein said this, as intellectual as he was, he said, "Oh yes, I do. If I don't find it, I won't know where I'm going." He had everything together, didn't he? Very smart. But he wasn't sure where he was going. You know, there's people like that today. Oh, they have everything together down here on this earth, seem like. They're smart and they're educated. But do they know where they're going when they die? No. They don't know where they're going. Let me tell you how you can know where you're going. Put your faith, your trust, your dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Accept Him. By faith, you can get to heaven. There's no other way. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, today, for your word. Help us to be people of faith. Lord, make us more like Abraham. And may our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren be able to look back and say, "My dad or my mom was a person who believed in God, and they lived like it." Lord, if there's someone here today who's not saved, I pray that today would be the day they trust Jesus. We ask in His name. Amen.